Welcome to today's Innovative Ideas podcast. I'm Paul Howard, the director of the Center for Medical Progress at the Manhattan Institute and the host of Innovative Ideas. Our guest this afternoon is Dr. Mark Siegel, a practicing internist and associate professor of medicine at NYU Langone Medical Center, as well as the medical director of Doctor Radio with NYU Langone and Sirius XM Radio. He's a senior Fox News medical contributor and the main on-air correspondent on healthcare reform issues and writes widely on healthcare issues for the USA Today, the New York Post, and the Wall Street Journal. He's here today to discuss the FDA's decision late last week to withdraw FDA approval for the use of the anti-cancer drug Avastin for the treatment of metastatic breast cancer. Dr. Siegel, thanks for joining us on Innovative Ideas podcast.
My pleasure, Paul. Thanks for having me.
First, we should note that Avastin does remain FDA approved for the treatment of several other types of cancer, including colon cancer, lung cancer, and brain cancer. But could you explain for a moment how the FDA arrived at this decision about the withdrawal of the labeling for breast cancer? And what does it mean for patients who have been on Avastin or for physicians who may be considering putting their breast cancer patients on Avastin?
Paul, I'd like to give you some background on this. First, I want to talk about the overall climate right now, which is going in the direction of if the FDA decides to withdraw an approval or doesn't give an approval, which essentially means that the drug has to be used off-label for a certain indication, that in fact, is going to lead to insurers not covering the drug in the current climate where insurers who are going to be hamstrung by more and more regulation are looking for reasons to not cover drugs. Also, as Obamacare expands coverage to millions and millions of more people who can use their medical services quite liberally and freely for the common cold or whatever else they have, more expensive treatments that are only useful for some and not others are going to be put more and more in jeopardy. Now, the direct answer to your question is that there's an endpoint problem here because Avastin is the first drug in its class which essentially targets the blood supply to a tumor, to a solid tumor. And that work, based on the work of Judah Folkman, is actually an extraordinary advance in cancer treatments. And the idea of withdrawing one of the indications of this revolutionary drug is deeply disturbing, especially since the endpoint involved is only survival. And I, as a practicing physician, am more interested in quality of life, tumor-free intervals, pain, how you feel, things like that that are harder to measure. And I need Avastin as one of my potentials. Now, one of the reasons I think that there's a heavy indication here that they could be pretty premature is something that you said in the intro here, which is that Avastin is very effectively used for colon cancer, for brain cancer, and especially for kidney cancer, other solid tumors that are somewhat similar to breast, though not identical. It makes you wonder, you know, this black and white approach to medical care, good for one cancer, not for another, is not what I think is the truth about Avastin.
And this is also not the message we're getting from the FDA's European counterpart, which is the European Medicines Agency, where they've effectively said that it's going to remain available for breast cancer patients, particularly for one in combination with one type of chemotherapy. So do you see, in a sense, Europe maybe staying a little bit ahead of the U.S.
Well,
in this respect?
Actually, Europe, correct, you're absolutely right. Europe just approved it for that, to use in conjunction with other medications, which is always how cancer is treated, with a multiple approach. And that's actually what we need to study. Not, you know, what does Avastin alone do, but how does Avastin work as part of a multiple-pronged therapy for a person who has something that they can't otherwise treat? If you have end-stage breast cancer, you're really not going to do very well unless you have an effective treatment. And again, it isn't all about death rate. It's about quality of life.
Absolutely. And I want to pick up on a point you just made about the learning process that physicians and patients go through with cancer, an incredibly complex, hard-to-treat disease where they're often using cocktails. And as I understand that, at least half of all cancer medicines are, as you put it earlier, used off-label, that is, for indications that were never approved by the FDA. Part of the justification or part of the reason doctors do this, I imagine, must be the enormous cost of running a clinical trial and the time it takes to complete it. And as you said, only gives you a sliver point of information. So is there a different approach that you as a physician can think about that we ought to consider for cancer drugs or for cancer drug treatment that would be better, as you put it, than this binary yes-no approach?
I just don't see the FDA having a role here. I'd like the FDA to decide what's safe and unsafe. I think that that's where they should start. I think they need to increase their regulatory power in terms of deciding what's unsafe, and I would send that to all these alternative treatments. There's billion-dollar industries out there for unproven treatments that could be potentially harmful, the FDA should be looking into that instead of targeting a drug that's essentially effective, that's been on the market and is highly visible. I'm okay with an insurance company deciding they don't want to cover this drug. I mean, it might not be what I want, but they could argue, look, this isn't cost effective. You know, they're forcing me to go to low deductibles and low copays. Insurance companies could make profit-oriented decisions. But when does the federal government come in deciding it has a role to do this? I mean, they can do it. I don't think it's the right precedent here.
Or is your point also that doctors are the ones who are really on the front lines and they get to see this firsthand and are going to have a sense of, you know, they need to experiment, they need to learn on the go, as it were, that's the kind of information.
Paul, that is a great point, but you got to understand another co-point here, which is we make a Faustian deal with insurance companies. I mean, I could take you back 40 years and argue that I'd rather receive a chicken for my work or a little bit of cash. I mean, I'm not the big monolith of insurance companies, which predates Obamacare, already puts us in a position where our treatments are sometimes limited. You're absolutely right. It's the doctor, I'm the patient, that should make a decision. But one thing's for sure, as we increase insurance, which is what Obamacare is doing, and the wrong kind of insurance, which is the easy to overuse kind, we're going to end up in a situation where we're not going to be able to offer the treatments that we want, and only people that are really rich are going to be able to pay for it. We're going to end up with a two-tiered system of medical care. People are not understanding that that's what they're getting if they buy into Obamacare.
Innovation perhaps endangered not only by Obamacare, but by an FDA that's making top-line bureaucratic decisions about care that doesn't take into account what individual doctors are doing on the front lines.
Put it another way, if they're going to take away Avastin, which is a great approach to breast cancer, we're not going to be able to figure out what the next generation drug is for breast cancer along that line of this type of targeted therapy. We don't need to get rid of Avastin. We need to work on Avastin and make it into something even better.
That's a terrific point to conclude on. Dr. Siegel, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, Paul.